Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And today is the second part of Godly Repent versus Worldly Remorse. Lauren, do you want to get started?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us be here today. Bless our words and our thoughts, and that our heart understands everything that you teach us today, and give us wisdom and all that we share, and that we're able to help others. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so I'm going to start. Last part one was about Saul and David, and their and the different ways that they after they sinned, how they and the different ways that they, well, I guess one repented and one didn't. So we reviewed that. We went over that. So I'm just going to review real quick about them, and just say real quick that the disobedience by Saul was, it was the beginning of his downfall. And remember, he was more prideful and arrogant, and he would try to make up for his sins by doing burnt offerings and sacrifices. Opposite of David, who, when he sinned, he returned to God. He returned to God and he fully repented because he was more hurt over the sin that he had caused, like, not only the people that he had hurt, but more of the sin that he did against God. And so to where Saul was full of pride and all those things, David was obedient, and he had his faith, and his faith was very strong early on. You know, he was, it was through his faith that God empowered him to be successful. And David gave God credit for everything, all his victories. And then, you know, David's trust in God, even though Saul was a constant threat to his life, David had respect for him as a king and spared his life more than one occasion. And then when David had an opportunity to kill Saul in a cave, he chose not to. And he said, "May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord take vengeance on you for me," in Samuel's. And so then, and also, it was, he would wait until God removed Saul before taking the throne. He wouldn't take that upon himself, and he would not take the throne by evil means. And that was years. That took several years. But it was in those years that I believe David grew the most, or matured the most, was in those years.
Right, because he could have taken vengeance on his own.
Yes.
Those where he stayed obedient too. Yeah.
Yeah. Staying obedient and then not taking vengeance, because he had many opportunities, and he had the followers for it, because he had the army for it. So and he chose not to. He chose to trust God, not only with his vengeance, but the promise that God had made for him, that he would get take the throne. Mm-hmm. And so and David's love, and all his dealings with Saul, David showed love towards him, even though he was determined to be his enemy. And and it's interesting that this, you know, that him being chosen by God and described as being after God's own heart, that Jesus would later, you know, on the Sermon on the Mount, say, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you," you know, because that was David and Saul, you know, because David loved Saul, and, you know, Saul was trying to kill him, and David still loved him even through all of that. And I think we can relate a lot to that, especially when it's, you know, when someone we love becomes our enemy, you know?
Right.
And then David's humility, even after experiencing remarkable success and victory in his battles, David remained humble. And when Saul offered his daughter, Michal, to David as his wife, he responded, "Is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am only a poor man and insignificant?" So, and I think that there shows God's reward too. You know, here's a poor boy, you know, that was out, you know, caring for his sheep, but then yet how far he had come to where even the king was giving him his daughter and inviting him to his table. Mm-hmm. So later in his life, after David was crowned king and had conquered all his enemies, the prophet Nathan told him of God's promise to extend his dynasty forever. And David prayed, "Who am I, Lord God, and who are the members of my household that you have brought me this far?" And at this point, David had known, you know, a lot of success and victory, and he gave all his all the glory to God for all of it. He never took credit for it, and I thought that was beautiful how he did that over and over and over. And again, one of my favorite things are when David danced for him. So, and then his integrity. David admitted when he was wrong and took responsibility for his mistakes. And one of the, you know, one of the mistakes that I didn't mention last time was where he came back and he took responsibility was that when he stole the, or he lied to feed his men. It's in 1 Samuel's, David's lie lies to Ahimelech, the priest, to get food for his entire, for all his men, as well as to get the sword of Goliath. And David's lie eventually leads to the death of 85 priests, and as well as the entire town of Nob by the command of Saul. So the lie that he did, it caused Saul to go and do that. And so when David learns of this, he admits, you know, of his fault and takes responsibility, and he takes what he has in his power to make it right. He takes the soul. I think there was one sole survivor of the priesthood, and he makes it right with him. And then David repents later in his life. David, his integrity took a drastic downfall, and he slept with Bathsheba and committed murder. And instead of making excuses for his behavior, David goes to the Lord and he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And this is after Nathan, you know, reveals to him what he had done. And after that, you know, we can see in Psalm 51 and in Psalm 32 where he earnestly sought God's forgiveness, and we see his brokenness in those his grief in those psalms, and then David worships God, you know, even though he made mistakes and poor choices with, you know, not only Bathsheba and the murder, but he never stopped worshiping God, and he returned to God. And it's in Psalm 51 that David writes, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart." So that's, David is the model that we should follow, and the relationship I think that we should all desire to have with God, you know, with Jesus. And I learned a lot from David. So now we're going to jump over to Peter and Judas. So, and we're going to see, the same,
right?
The same here with the differences in true repentance and then worldly remorse.
Right.
So Judas and Peter are named in all four Gospels. And and we'll start with Peter. You know, Peter and his brother, Jesus calls Peter and his brother to follow him when he gets into Simon's boat and helps them to catch fish miraculously and invites them to be fishers of men. And here the Gospels show that that Peter, Simon Peter, how early his belief starts growing in Jesus, because when he sees the miracle that Jesus did, you know, by catching all the fish when they hadn't caught anything the whole night, falls down at Jesus on his knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So there we see that he's already calling, you know, Jesus, O Lord, and he's recognizing who Jesus is. And that's in Luke 5. So, you know, immediately with that miracle, he understood that Jesus was more than just a prophet or just, you know, another teacher. So, and then later, Jesus confirms the Holy Spirit is guiding Peter, because it's where it's recorded in Matthew that where he asked them, where Jesus asked them, who do they say I am? And they reply, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But you, he asked them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So there we already see the relationship that that Peter and Jesus have, and where the Holy Spirit was already in Peter, and Peter recognizes, you know, you are the Messiah. And so that shows how dedicated, you know, Peter already to Jesus, and truly following him. And the thing is that Judas was already there too. He was already there too, and he was seeing the miracles, you know, the miracles performed by Jesus. But we see different, we see where the relationships are different, you know. And while Judas, because we see where Jesus, I mean, where Judas struggles with greed, because he holds the money bag. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a Judas that also gets mad when that woman uses the perfume.
Yes.
On him, right?
Yes.
Because he's like, hey, that's expensive perfume.
Yeah.
So we see there that he didn't see Jesus that as him, you know, as Jesus. He just saw him as, I guess, like a just a teacher, you know. And also that,
when does Jesus tell Judas to follow him?
I don't know if it's in there, because I don't think it says, because I couldn't find it.
Right. And so I think Jesus knew who he was from the beginning, what he was going to do.
He's one of the 12. So,
but when did he become one of the 12?
I don't know.
I don't think it says. I think Jesus just said, you're going to be there because this is, you're going to end up doing this. So you just said,
well,
and
he might have just started. Right. Well, yeah, Jesus already knew who, and he might have just started following them,
but
you
I'm
know?
Surprised the other ones didn't question it, like, well, why is he here? He didn't even, you know.
Well,
but I think even like if we look at all, because I was trying to go through each gospel too, and it really only really talks about the three, right? So it's Simon, John, and John's brother, James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right? it doesn't give really, details on all of them.
No.
No. On all the 12. I don't think it does.
Peter's brother.
Right. Yeah, because and James, and he dies early James on is the too, first. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's John's brother, yes. It doesn't say anything about Judas. We just know he's the one that betrays. Now, if we look at the show Chosen, he shows up right before he Jesus makes the speech on
Mount the Sermon on the Mount.
Sorry.
And then we do learn how Peter is. We learn that he's that he shows, you know, that pride and that he has a short temper.
What did they describe him to? Like he's
Thunder. Is it? Are they? No, it's not.
No, those are John and James.
Oh, okay, okay.
But he's very impulsive. Always he always talks before he thinks, and then he ends up putting his foot in his mouth.
Who's that? Who are we talking
Peter?
About?
Peter.
Peter.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are.
But are you still looking through Luke, Lorena?
I'm in Matthew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so then there are several moments, in the gospel where Peter, you know, he tells Jesus, you know, that he would go to war for him and that he would do, you know, whatever it took for his Lord. And, that arrogance was strong in him. That even, you know, when Jesus predicted his denial, Peter failed to change his heart, you know, because I guess he could have asked, well, will I Jesus or what can I do not to do that? You know, when Jesus told me you're going to deny me three times instead of ask, you know, because I thought about it afterwards, like, well, why didn't he ask? Like, well, what can I do so I don't deny you or, you know, but instead he's like, no, I'll never deny you.
Well, because didn't he say during the Last Supper, I think Jesus talks about one of them will betray him. And I think he even says, is it me, teacher? Right? Like he asks about that.
Well, they all ask, is it me? Yeah. Because they all ask, is it I or who is it? Like they ask, who is it? Is it one, you know, who is it that will betray you? And, but when he tells Peter, you will deny me, you know, before the rooster crows, he's like, no, I won't. Instead of like, well, what can I do? But I guess that shows how normal they were, you know? Right. Yeah. Cause how we can be
it's
caught
like
up
us three
in that.
Here, yeah. Us three here and we ask Jesus and you Lord and say, no, I'm not going to do it. It's like, no, you are.
Exactly.
You are going to do it. And you're like, no, cause maybe
no, I'm not
going to
go to that. He's like,
no, I wouldn't do it. It's like,
but,
no,
I think you are. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know? That's it's kind of, I think about that, like, man, like we're one of Jesus's followers, right? We're like his chosen. So isn't it kind of hard not to get that big head? Like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
you.
I'm good. I'm already, I'm here. I made it.
It's hard to, so I have to think.
Not me. I'm scared that I would go on the other side because most of them did go on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
You forget, like all of a sudden you get too busy and you don't realize that you haven't picked up the Bible.
You let your guard down, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you still let your emotions get the best of you.
Well, and they might have gotten comfortable with him. You know, they might have gotten comfortable with him there.
Yeah. It's like you're always going to be, because I don't know at that time that they knew that he was going to leave them.
That's when he tells them, but they didn't understand.
They didn't understand.
So it's like, nah, you're going to be here. Yeah, you're going to be here. Yeah. You can forgive me tomorrow, the next day. So I'm good.
Yeah, they didn't understand. And I could, because a lot of things that like, and we've seen that too, where we're, you know, we think we understand and then something happened and it's like, oh, that's what, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then I can imagine like what him being fully man, hanging out with him, you know, getting comfortable with that he's there and he's a normal guy, you know, he seems like a normal man because he is fully man too. And so I can see where you're like, I'm not going to deny you.
Yeah,
right.
Like he didn't go and use his power here and here. So they probably, I wonder if they kind of not forget, but there was probably days where he didn't heal someone, right? When they were traveling.
Right, when they were traveling. Is that when he's there just hanging out?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be Peter.
It's like, why didn't you ask him? No.
I know.
But
now we know to say, please don't let me fall into that. We're learning from our mistakes.
Now we constantly pray for that, right?
Yes. And then, don't let us fall.
Yeah.
And then so in Matthew, it says that Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus, I will never fall away. And Jesus says to him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all of the disciples said the same. So that's in Matthew 26. And then later when they came to take Jesus away, Simon Peter, you know, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant. You know, remember he hits the servant and he cuts his ear off. And that shows his instinct was to strike first, you know, to come out, you know, fighting. You know, he takes out his sword and he strikes the first person that he sees, because I was like he struck a priest. He didn't even strike one of the Roman soldiers.
I thought it was a Roman soldier, wasn't it?
It was a Roman soldier.
Was it? Because it says
in the Passion of the Christ, it's a Roman soldier.
It's a Roman soldier because it says it's a priest's servant. Not to say that he was in one of the high priests. So it was a servant. So I don't know if that's specific to a certain to one of the different translations.
But does it have that on all the gospels, or does maybe a different gospel says something different?
Maybe, yeah, it might say something different. So because that was what I got that from one of the commentaries. So then
but he told them, he had already told them not to do anything.
He had already told them not to do it. Yeah, he had already told them not to.
Yeah, but that's the flesh. It's like you telling me, Nana, if they come for me, just let them take me. They're going to kill me. I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen.
Right.
Well, you're going to go. You're going to, you know, he tried to fight like a warrior. But if you look at the difference between him and David, where David could have done that at any time, too, and he didn't, you know. And David was, you know, he was a warrior. He was a very good warrior. Mm-hmm. And he never, and that's, he didn't react to that, to where here, you know.
David wasn't going to strike one of God's anointed. This guy is a soldier taking Jesus away. So I can, you know, he did disobey him, but he's, you know, I don't know. I think I would have probably.
And then to David, like he left that vengeance to God, and in all the battles where he had victory, he would, God, do I go, you know, he would take, ask God first, yeah. God, do I, you know, do I go and I fight this battle? Do I go? He always went to God first. I just I just thought that was how that stood
but
out.
But with Peter, wouldn't the apostles, they knew the gospel, or, you know, the book of God from the past, so they would know the story of David, right? And they would they should know that vengeance is God's,
right,
ours. But I mean,
but
I guess
I can relate to that too, though, how your flesh, like Nana said, your flesh wants to,
yeah,
you want to react, you know. But then when it came down to it, you know, he wasn't that brave. He denied the Lord 3 times. You know, and even though that he wasn't the one to actually hand Jesus over to the religious leaders, like Judas, it was still a betrayal, you know, and Peter disowned his Savior to save himself, you know, and I think that's huge, because we all do that, you know, deny to take the right path, to make the right choice, knowing what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
Then, you know, we're denying God, we're denying Jesus, you know? Right. So Peter, you know, after the resurrection, then Peter is recommitted to God, to Jesus, to his Lord, and he still wasn't perfect. Because if you remember, even after everything, Paul gets after him because he doesn't want to preach to the non-Jews.
Right.
So there was, you know, there was still that. It goes to show how we're always learning, you know.
Right.
And that we all make mistakes because we are only human.
Right.
Okay. So how does how do Judas and Peter respond to Jesus? So it was, you know, with Judas too, his ultimate motive was turning, you know, the betrayal of Jesus, turning him in, right? Turning to him. But was it based on, and I never thought about that either, like, what was it based on? Because they talk about how he's greedy and the money purse, but why did he betray him? Because he didn't believe that was Jesus, you know?
Maybe he was just literally trying to make a quick dollar.
But because he didn't believe it was Jesus, because when he goes, when he goes to say I betrayed an innocent, you know, innocent blood. What is it that he says? I have sinned against the innocent and innocent man.
Right.
He doesn't say against the Messiah. He never says Jesus is the Messiah. He calls him Rabbi. He never calls him Lord. He never admits that Jesus is the Son of God. So what
maybe he didn't see
truly
him.
Yeah, so
but he also they also say that the devil entered him.
Well, right? And they say yes, and they say so then because Satan entered Judas, because it
yes, I think that's the big thing. Like when people do something really, really bad, adultery or murder or whatever, something comes in them and it's right. Like almost then leaves them, and then they're left with the consequences, and then right. They see.
And so then they see, yeah. It does say in scripture where Satan entered Judas. Mm-hmm.
So he had an opportunity.
When Peter is telling Jesus, no, we can't let this happen to you, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
So that so Satan already... also entered Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Satan entered
all of us. He entered
of
all right. of us. You
well,
know?
And I think that goes to show how he... Yeah. They were he was probably after all of them, right? Because it's a 12,
to stop them. 12,
and then didn't to stop them. On Luke chapter 22:31, it says that didn't Jesus even told Simon that Satan asked that he
for
wanted
him.
To sift
yes.
through him or what
yes.
it, sift you
he wanted
like
to sift
wheat.
You right
what?
And he tells
what did
him,
he ask?
on Luke 22:31, it says Jesus tells Simon Peter Satan asked to sift you like wheat to find Peter's weakness. Maybe
to sift who?
Faith? Like Peter. Peter.
So Satan asked for Peter.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. He asked for Peter.
Oh, Satan asked Jesus for Peter?
Or
yes.
I guess, yes. Like he wanted to sift him like wheat.
Yeah. Like so he I did guess, Job. Like he did Job. He
right.
asked for
oh,
Peter.
When did he say this?
And Luke
on Luke in Gospel of Luke. Oh
my God. I haven't gotten to Luke yet.
Did you do your homework, Missy?
No, because I like to come fresh. Like,
but I
don't
thought
understand.
That was a good one because I mean,
no,
it's
glad you remember
I'm asking
that
for the
one
people.
Either.
I have it. Yeah. Well, and because
okay,
I also
so
right
Jesus
before
tells,
that,
who is Jesus talking to?
Peter.
Peter, he's telling Peter,
oh,
say, ask
Peter.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes. And Jesus tells them, but I prayed for you, right? He tells them, I
yes.
prayed for you so that he doesn't fail, right? I pray that you don't lose your faith.
Yes.
So maybe
right?
Peter
yes.
was supposed to be the Judas.
Well, no, it's just that the enemy's after all of them. Well, because remember, Jesus already knows their hearts, right? He already told
right.
Peter, you're going to be the rock. I'm going to build my church,
yeah.
you know, with you. So Jesus already sees the differences in their hearts, you know? So, but he knows that Peter, that you know, Peter's going to go through this, and he tells Peter, I prayed for you, you know, that you don't lose your faith. And so, but I think that goes to show, like, all of us, like, we're not, you know, the enemies after all of us, you know, and especially,
yes, that's a big thing.
Especially, yes. Like, if you, you know, if you're out there and you're trying to preach and you're trying to do all those things, then, you know, for Jesus and trying to, you know, share the gospel and all that stuff too, you know, and that, and why we have to continue to pray and stay close to him, because the you know, the more attention, or what is it, like, when you're important to God, then you're, you know, the enemy sees you too. You're important to the, yeah, you're important right. to the devil too. So,
well, and I think I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but just reading Job, and if you're familiar with Job, I mean, the devil asked God, like, hey, did God say, what, have you thought of my servant Job?
Job, yeah, because he was, yeah, like, so like saying, was walking around bored.
Yeah, to sift through us, I guess, in a way, right?
Yes.
He allows the enemy to.
So it's interesting that God allowed protection on Peter and not on Judas. Because God allowed it.
God allowed it, but he.
Wow, that's a good point.
But I guess Judas was already a bad guy. I mean,
well, because remember, Peter already believed who Jesus was. He knew who Jesus was.
Right.
And that he was, he had already. Proclaimed that, you know, that you are Jesus, you are the Son of Man, and like he already did all those things. And Judas, who was there too while Jesus is doing all these things, all these miracles, he's already part of the 12 and he's following them,
right?
Judas' heart had not changed,
right?
Yeah. And that's I guess, like, sorry about that, like today, if you don't believe in Jesus, if you're not following that, then God's gonna allow the enemy to just sift you away to
because the enemy is gonna sift you anyway. And so if you're you're not under God's protection, and look where it drove Judas, because he goes and he hangs himself, you know. And and two, I wanted to point out that at the Last Supper, which kind of gives the scenery of and the atmosphere and the mindset of the apostles, in the book of Matthew, it says that after Jesus said someone would betray him, that they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" And then in Mark 14 and Luke, it affirms that that their sorrow and confusion at the table. And and then in John, it records the question to Jesus, so that disciple leaning back against Jesus said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And they were worried one of them had it in them to betray the Lord. So even they didn't know who would betray him.
No. But you I wonder, yes, we know, right? Because it wasn't revealed to them, but they had to have seen, like, I mean, like, if we hung out together every day, all day, we would kind of know, you know, like, behavior wise. I mean, because I'm sure Judas couldn't have been that sneaky, right?
But could we? Would we? I didn't.
That's true. You know what? Yeah, never mind. You're right. Yeah.
You know, because sometimes you're betrayed by the people you would least expect. You know,
well, yeah, so, that's true.
You know,
although he did get after him for the fragrance thing, right? And then
he got after Peter too, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, on Chosen
and Thomas, yeah.
So I guess, and it just shows, how we can be blinded, right? Because I mean, I'm sure they all came to love one another as brothers, and so you're right.
And if Judas doesn't believe that he is who he says he is, he's probably like, sure, he's blinded, you know. He's
so seeing Judas and then seeing Peter, and we see both of their, well, we know a little deeper about Peter, right? But just with Judas, like, it kind of just shows, I think, like Nina said, I think Jesus, since then, he knows our hearts. I think from the very beginning, he knows what type of person will come to him and what person won't come to him.
Right. And the same way where he allows things to happen because,
but do you think,
because that's going to bring us closer to him.
Right. But what about the ones where he knows that heart has no good intentions? Does he still try and get them to turn to him?
But yeah, because remember, he pursues you. He pursues you and he keeps trying. And then sometimes, you know, and remember we talked about like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Because, you know, things, you know, the heat turns up, you know, it starts getting hotter and hotter in the, you know, and it's not until we hit rock bottom, you know, and even then, those that hit, and remember, at some point, he says, I will stop pursuing you.
Right.
So it's, you know, so for people that think that, hey, well, I have, you know, I'll wait till, you know, the day before I die. Well, you better hope you know that day and that you're ready for it, because, you know, at some point he will stop pursuing you. And he does. He's constantly, I mean, looking back, and I think we've all said that, that looking back, we can see where he was everywhere and where he was, you know, where we missed it. And he might have been calling us and all those things, or where we drifted instead of getting closer to him.
I guess, too, seeing Judas and Peter, they both broke, but one just couldn't.
One returned and one didn't. Because when Judas doesn't go back to Jesus. Judas goes back to the teacher. Judas doesn't go back to God or to the apostles or to anyone. He goes back to the teachers and tells them, I have sinned. He goes back to the high priest.
Right.
And tells them, I have sinned. And they tell him,
here's the money.
Yeah. Here's the money. He sinned against an innocent man, but he never says, I sinned against Jesus the Messiah.
It doesn't say.
And they tell him, what are you telling us for? You know, like that's on you. What are you coming to us for? You know? So he never truly repents or confesses. He doesn't go to God. He doesn't go to the other apostles or anything. And it never says that he says that Jesus was who he said he was,
right?
To where
he never goes to God,
right? He never goes to God, because he could have gone to God, you know, because it's the Son of God. He could have gone to God.
They knew the Old Testament.
Yeah, he could have gone to God, and then
and that's what Peter did.
What did Peter do?
Oh, well, he turned to God, like when he denied
and he showed him. Grief. Yeah. And he showed grief, and as soon as, remember, when he denied him the third time, he remembered what Jesus told him. And I think in one of the gospels, it even says where he heard the rooster crow the third time, that he turned and Jesus looked at him. Right. Jesus turns and looks at him. And he remembers which. And at that moment, he realized what he did. And you'll read in I'm not sure which.
I think it's Luke.
Where it shows that he grieved, right? That he grieved and that he shows sorrow.
Yes. Yeah. It's in Luke.
So Peter, you know, he knew who Jesus was the whole time, you know, and he called Jesus the Christ. So he believed that he was the Son of the Living God, you know, and Peter ran, you know, because of his fear, you know, and then remember the Holy Spirit was already in Peter, because he had already proclaimed, you know, Jesus, you are Jesus, you are the Son of God. So the difference between them was their, you know, their belief about who Jesus was, and that was a big crucial difference between them two.
Right.
So
just like with Saul and David.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then even though they they struggled with their sin, you know, throughout their time with Jesus while he was, you know, in his earthly ministry. Because one with pride and one with greed. And they both sat at his feet and they both witnessed his miracles and they both learned about the kingdom of heaven. Both chose to betray, you know, they both chose to betray Jesus. And, you know, Judas by handing him over, and then Peter by denying that he knew who Jesus was. But once did see Jesus as his savior, and the other, and Judas failed to see who his savior was. And he died without faith or hope or a chance for at redemption.
At redemption. So Peter was forgiven.
Peter, when Jesus comes back and he looks for Peter, he asks for Peter. He tells Peter to go meet him also where he told the other apostles to meet him. And that's where he asked Peter, you know, three times, for each time he denied him, you know, do you love me? And do you love me? And then on the third one where he says, you know, that I love you, you know, and Peter didn't hesitate. He went, and I can only imagine how, you know, relieved he was to see that Jesus was resurrected, you know, but I think it took that to make Peter who he was, you know.
Absolutely. I heard a sermon and he talked about Judas and Peter. And for Peter, he talked about, you know, and God does this to all of us. I was broken. You know, he brought me to my knees, and bringing Peter to his knees the first time when he denied him the three times, you know, he wept bitterly. He was remorseful. He turned to God. And he talked about the second time that he believes Jesus broke Peter, brought him to his knees one more time, was when he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? And I think going through it myself, I feel like I was broken twice. And Tony says this a lot too in the Bible, is God will come and he will shake that foundation up, and he shakes it just to make sure, you know, keep our faith where we need to be, and to let us grow stronger in our faith, to believe in him, that no matter how many times our foundation will shake, it will get stronger and stronger and stronger every time.
Right. That's true. That's so true. That is so true. And to where, you know, Judas just couldn't
see
he couldn't find it in himself. Like on his inside, he could not put his faith in Jesus. He just,
well, and couldn't. Jesus didn't ask him, Judas, do you love me? Isn't that interesting that he didn't ask him?
Well, he had already died.
Sorry.
Yes.
No, Jesus asked Peter, do you love
me? It was after he was resurrected.
Okay.
It was resurrected.
Okay, we're learning.
We are learning. No, but I mean, I can understand. Maybe Jesus didn't ask Judas, like, are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you sure you want to betray me?
Yeah, he didn't give him an,
But remember how much
Jesus said it'd be better
Jesus,
for him.
It was three, because wasn't it, I think it was like 3 years that Jesus was preaching.
Right.
That he did his ministry. It was 3 years, and here they are, and they're seeing Jesus do all these things. They're seeing, you know, they're walking with Jesus. They're seeing, and these are the 12 apostles, and they're seeing all of this. And Judas' heart still didn't change. It still didn't change. He never, it doesn't show that he said, you know, Jesus, that I believe you are the Son of God, you know, and he, I mean, that's kind of to where we, you know, like we have more time, I think, than 3 years, but you know, when, how much time do you have, you know, because at some point it's going to be too late, you know?
Because even
maybe he just had a lot of issues with him, you know.
Right.
Maybe he was just a bad person, but maybe he already had like these. He had done way too much, because it's not like Jesus not to walk with him or not to do this. You know, it's like he went into that picture to do his job, almost like, I hate to say this, but you know, somebody going in to hurt somebody else. You know, they already have it in their mindset, and Jesus is like, you know, yeah, you know, this guy, he's not going to change. He's already who he is. He's going to be the one who kills me. He's just going to be around us for a while.
And because I think on one of the Gospels too, Jesus tells Judas, go, right? Doesn't he tell him, like, go do what you're going
to
do?
Yeah, go do. Yeah, because he already knew that he had already made the decision to go do what he was going to do.
Go and do
And the guy is like, what? What am I going to do? You know, it's like.
No, he just gets up and goes.
Well, he goes and he does what he was going to do.
No, but I'm saying he didn't deny it. He didn't say, you know,
no, I'm not going to do it. He never changed his mind. He never changed his course.
It was already a done deal from the beginning, I think.
Yeah. Right. He never changed course. And I could see that, like, where you don't believe, you know, you just don't believe, like, you know, you have some people out there that just don't aren't going to believe. And they have their mindset on doing that. So, and Jesus knew that already. So, you know, and it's sad, but it's true.
It's
I mean,
true.
Look
There's
at,
some people
look
that
at,
you're not going to get to change. Yeah.
Look at Satan. Satan knew who God was. He knew who God was. And not only that, he was, you know, the archangel, and he was, you know, the most beautiful and the most powerful and all that. And he still did what he did.
Right. And he was I think he sang beautifully too. Everything.
Yeah. He was like the perfect archangel and everything. He had the power over. Right. He was the leader of the army, of God's army. And he still did what he did. So it just knowing God or just knowing Jesus is not enough. It's not enough. So if you can't just say, well, yeah, I believe in God, or yeah, I believe in Jesus, it's not enough.
Never a relationship because if not,
No, right? No matter
how. And Jesus, you know, he's Lord and he stands, he's ready. He's ready to forgive us. He's ready for us to come to him. And but he's not going to force you to.
Eva, do you have a prayer for us or scripture?
I do. It's in Psalms 32, 1 through 5, the joy of forgiveness. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silence, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. That I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for joining us on our podcast, and we'll see you next week.